Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple verses. And I hope to talk a little bit about Memorial Day. And I've tried to prepare what I would believe would be an appropriate message for this Memorial weekend and the observance of Memorial Day. And it is a time, you know, to remember those who've paid the ultimate price, who've shed their blood on four continents as Americans, fighting battles so that we can have freedom. In Exodus chapter 12, I think we'll begin reading. This is a familiar passage for Bible readers. It is the Passover origination. That is exactly what it is. It is the Passover. Let's begin reading in verse 11. And thus, Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist. They're talking about the lamb that they had put aside and then they roasted it. They will eat this lamb with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Well, there's that word memorial, and that's very fitting there. And so let's talk about Memorial Day for a little bit before we get into this. And tomorrow we will have, we will do our best to observe Memorial Day, to honor those who have paid the ultimate price for us. For our country. I was reading and I discovered something this week that I didn't know. And it says that Memorial Day can actually be traced to former slaves who on May 1st, 1865, in South Carolina, 257 dead Union soldiers who had been buried in a mass grave in a Confederate prison camp. The former slaves dug up the bodies and worked for 2 weeks to give them a proper burial. Then they held a parade, and many people came out, and that's really, really, they believe, the origination of it. Then in 1868, a group of women in Washington, D.C., asked permission of the War Department to decorate the graves at Arlington National Cemetery and to be allowed to have a special memorial ceremony to mark that occasion. After a lot of discussion, permission was granted, but the officials attached a harsh provision. No flowers were to be placed on the graves of the Confederate soldiers who were buried in a separate section of the cemetery. The ladies agreed reluctantly, and they planned their program. General James Garfield, who was a devout Christian, and by the way, Garfield's Christianity can be traced to Free Will Baptist here in Ohio, a devout Christian who later became President of the United States, delivered the memorial speech. And in accordance with their agreement, flowers were placed only upon the graves of the Union dead and not on the Confederate section. But after the crowds were gone, a strong wind arose and blew almost all the flowers over onto the Confederate side. And when that became known, many people believed that it was a direct result of God's intervention. After that, the order to ignore the Confederate graves was never repeated. So that's where it basically came from, the observance of Memorial Day. And, you know, it's easy. I was thinking about that this week, and I've tried to put this message together, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about our country here in a minute. But I think that God realizes that we're forgetful people. We really are forgetful people. It's easy to, you know, time goes by, and you know, the old saying says that, you know, time heals wounds and things like that. But I think time sometimes makes us forget. And you know, in our country, I was doing some research yesterday, and it's amazing, really, how many memorials there are in our country. I mean, in every city, there's memorials to World War II, to Vietnam, to some of the other. There's memorials everywhere you go. You can go to Pearl Harbor. There's a memorial there. The Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. If you've never been to Washington, D.C. and been to that place and been to Arlington National Cemetery, you should put that on your bucket list to do, because it is really an amazing thing to see, and it's an amazing thing to be there. Memorials. You know, we put these memorials up. Why do we do this? We put these memorials up so we won't forget, because we really are forgetful people. And when we forget, we tend to make the same mistakes they made in the past. When we forget, we tend to turn to the wrong source for answers. When we become forgetful, we seek solutions through men and programs and not through God. And when we forget, we become very complacent. And I was thinking about the writer of Hebrews chapter 12. That was in my mind this week. And I was thinking about how he said that we need to lay aside the weights, that we need to run this race with faith. And he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, we have a great cloud of witness. And he's just talked about the great heroes of faith in chapter 11. So he's referring to them and the lives that they lived and the victories that they had and the things that they accomplished. And yet they were people just like you and I, just ordinary people. That's who God uses. And he says there is a great cloud of witness. And I thought about that term in terms of our country, a great cloud of witness. I want to read you a couple things, and it may surprise you. It did surprise me. With what's going on in our country today, think about this. If the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court said this statement, divine providence, that's God, has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Would that shock you? What if you heard this? Inquiries by our reporters reveal that almost every state legislature has now passed a law requiring all elected officials to take this oath. I do profess faith in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, and I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration. What if you heard this? Legislation was passed today in Congress to affirm that the Congress of the United States approves and recommends the Holy Bible for use in the schools. Well, would it surprise you to find out that all three of those took place in our country? The first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was John Jay, and he said, it is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. It was the state of Delaware and some other states which required office holders to take an oath affirming their Christian faith before they could take office, and they had a practical reason for requiring it. And it was Congress in 1782 that approved the use of Bible in our schools and actually bought them with tax dollars. Could you imagine that happening today? Can you imagine the uproar that would happen in our country if those statements were made by Supreme Court justices or those actions were taken by states and legislation? They would be deemed radical and over the top and out of their mind. But in our country, that's where we started from. Our founding fathers definitely came from a biblical perspective. And so we have a great cloud of witness around our country as a Christian nation. No matter what Obama might say, we were founded on the principles of the Word of God, and we were founded as a Christian nation. A group of people coming here to literally, and it's expressed over and over again, to further the name of Christ. Well, we are forgetful, aren't we? But God knows that we are forgetful. Listen to what God says to his people. Let me get into the scripture now. God cautions people to remember things over and over and over again. I got a couple I want to read to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19, God cautions the people in Moses' days. Says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you surely will be destroyed. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9, but they forgot the Lord, the Bible says. And so he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor. In Judges, it says this in Judges chapter 4, in verse, let me read this to you here. Judges chapter 2, rather. It says, when all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals, and they forsook the Lord. Well, you get the idea. We're forgetful people. And so I want to preach on how God instructed us to guard against forgetfulness. He doesn't want us to forget. And so God himself gave memorials. Memorials, I guess you could say, are biblical because God himself gave memorials. I read to you in Exodus 12 a wonderful memorial, the Passover, that commemorates the nation of Israel being delivered, being set free from Egyptian bondage after about 420 years. God sent Moses back into the land of Egypt, and he led his people out. Now, when he was doing it, most of you know the story. The lamb was put up without spot, without blemish. It was slain. The blood was taken from that lamb, and it was to be put over the door and on the sides of the door. And everyone, I read to you that God said, everyone who has the blood applied, when the death angel goes by tonight, I will pass over you when I see the blood. Well, that ought to make every Christian shout, because I'm glad for the blood of Jesus, aren't you? But this is a reminder of their deliverance. This is a reminder that God never forgets. This is a reminder that he did exactly what he was said he would do. Let me tell you, do you remember your deliverance? Do you remember the day that you were delivered? You might not know it on the calendar, and you might not, you know, exactly know the time, and whatever, but you remember when Jesus Christ delivered you. This was a memorial for their deliverance, and I'm glad, listen, it is still important to the nation of Israel. They still look at it all through the Old Testament, and even in the New, they would look back and they would remind themselves by this Passover meal that God had delivered them. Aren't you glad he can bring you out? He brought them out. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter what you're battling, no matter how bad it might seem, there is one today who can deliver you, who can set you free of whatever bondage, whatever problem you're dealing with as far as addiction and all of those things. God can set you free. Well, he delivered them and he said to them, this will be a memorial to you throughout all of your generations. Secondly, let me give you another memorial. This is very familiar to Bible readers. It is in the book of Joshua, and it is the memorial of when the children of Israel went into the Jordan River, and God told them, he said, listen, when you go in there, he said, I want one man from every tribe. When you get in there, God held back the water of the Jordan River and said, when you get on the other side, everybody bring a rock with them, 12 men, all these designated men will bring a rock with them, a stone with them, and when you get to the other side, you will stack these stones up as a memorial. Now, you know what I was thinking about that, is the children of Israel, at the time of Joshua, there was really nobody other than perhaps Joshua and Caleb, and some of the kids may not have remembered it. There wasn't a whole lot of people that remembered the Red Sea crossing, right? They had all passed on. But now they were going to have their own river crossing, dry ground river crossing. And God tells them, he says, this is going to be a sign among you, he says. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Now think about this. The first memorial was the Passover, and that commemorated, reminded the children of Israel of their deliverance, that God could bring them out. This memorial was a remembrance to the fact that not only can God bring you out, but God can take you in. Aren't you glad for that? Now, what they're doing is they're going into the promised land. And what's happening here is when they get on the other side of the promised land, that's considered the victorious land, the land of victorious living. And so they had a remembrance for the time when God brought them out. And now they have a memorial, a remembrance of the time when God brought them in. God keeps his promises. He told them, I'm going to give to you a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to bless you in this land. You know, this land had grapes and, and giants and grasshoppers that they were afraid to enter in, 40 years earlier. But God kept his word. God always keeps his promises. And they built a memorial so that they would always be reminded that God can not only deliver you, God can keep you in the journey, and God can bring you into the land that he has promised. Thank God, I'm going to tell you, we have a land that is promised to us. Not only heaven, I'm talking about a place now of victorious Christian living. You can have victory today. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to walk around defeated. You can have victory today in Christ. So they had a memorial that God brought them in. Let me give you a third one here. Now you all relate to this and you'll know this one. This is a memorial that we celebrate occasionally here. We do it when the Lord leads us to do. And that is called the Lord's Supper. That is a memorial that Jesus Christ himself instituted so that we would be reminded of all that he's done for us. Now, when the Lord leads us, we do it a few times a year. We have communion. We take of the bread and we take of the juice. The bread represents the broken body of Christ. The juice represents the blood that he shed. And the Bible tells us that when we take of this juice and we take of this bread, that we're remembering what Christ done for us. We're remembering that his body was broken on the cross. We're remembering that his blood was shed so that you and I could have life. Just as the Passover, the blood was applied, when Christ's blood is applied to us, we have the safety of dwelling in Christ. We remember what he's done. We remember how he was broken. We remember what he's done personally for us in our lives. But we also look forward to the day when he will return. We're reminded of these things. This is what communion does. It reminds us of the blood of the body, and it reminds us that not only is Jesus Christ done all that in the past, but thank God he's still coming back. He has a promise, and he will keep his promises. He is coming back. So there's the Passover. There's the memorial of Joshua that God keeps his promise. There's the communion that reminds us of the blood and the body and the second coming. And then there's a fourth memorial, and it is what we're doing right now. It is worship day. You know, this is a memorial of sorts. This is a time when we come together every Sunday. God's not only a God of the past. God's not only a God of the future when you leave here and go to heaven, but God is a God of the present. Amen? That's why we're here. God is a God of the present. And this reminds us. We come here and we're refreshed and we recollect, you know, what God's done, but we also know that he's a God of the present now. Every Sunday when we gather here, this is like a memorial. We gather here and we worship him because he is so worthy. I love when Josh was leading the worship and talking about praising the Lord. Man, I tell you what, we don't praise the Lord enough. He really does deserve glorious praise. All right, well, we're forgetful, but here's what I want to get to. Think about this. God is not. We forget. So we have memorials. We have memorials in our country. We have memorials in the Bible. We could probably look at a couple more. So God's, throughout the scriptures, given us memorials to remind us. But here's what I want you to get today, that God is not forgetful. God never forgets. In Isaiah 44:21, he says, "Remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. I have made you, you are my servant, and you will not be forgotten by me." Think about that. God says, "You will not be forgotten by me." Hebrews 6:10 says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your labor of love." God will never forget. You know what? You might be going through a tough time today. You might be having, some battles in your life. But I want to remind you today that God has not forgot about you. He knows right where you're at. He knows right where you're standing. God never forgets about his people. I was thinking about the Aaron, the high priest, in the book of Exodus. It talks about how God gave the instruction to make a linen ephod. And there's two things about that I want to just draw your attention to. Number one, he said, when you make this ephod, he said, I want you to put a stone on this shoulder, put six names of the tribes of Israel, and a stone on this shoulder, and put six names of the tribe of Israel. Then he said, on the front of this
on the breastplate portion, he said, you're going to put 12 stones, three rows of four. You put three rows of four. And upon every stone will be the name of the tribe of Israel. And I was thinking about that in terms of God not being forgetful. Number one, he's bearing the names of the children of Israel on his shoulders. Aren't you glad that God is a burden bearer? That's what that priest represents. It represents Christ to you and I. He bears our burden. He carries us. When we feel like we can't go on, he can carry us. But not only does he carry us on his shoulders, but he bears us close to his heart. Aaron had the names of those tribes of Israel on his heart, right over his heart, right over his breast, showing us that we are near to God's heart. God never forgets about us. You might be here today. This didn't go like I planned, I got to tell you. You might be here today and perhaps you feel forgotten. Perhaps you feel, you know, like you've been forsaken. I want to assure you today that God never forgets. Maybe you just need to know today that God loves you. You just need to be reminded that God loves you. That high priest would carry that ephod, those 12 names. He would go in before the Ark of the Covenant once a year. That's when he would wear it, one time a year. And he would go into the presence of God representing all the people. And he would offer up the blood on the Ark of the Covenant once a year with those names close to his heart. God never forgets. I want you to know that. If you don't get anything out of this message, anything else, remember that. God don't forget you. God loves you. He knows what you're going through. He's there for you. I read this illustration. I'm going to close in just a minute. But I read this illustration about the Civil War. And during the Civil War, and I did not know this either. I learned a couple things this week. During the Civil War, when the war first began, that some Confederates, they could literally pay other people to go fight in their place. They wouldn't have to go. If they had enough money, they could hire somebody to go fight in their place. Wouldn't that be something? That's where the term rich man's war, poor man's fight came to be. You know, you get drafted and you say, well, I paid this man X amount of dollars and he's going to go in my place. Well, think about that in terms of our military. They go in our place. But even on a greater level, think about that in terms of what Christ has done for us. And he did it freely. He did it out of love because he loves us. He took our place on the cross. He paid the price. Well, God gives us memorials so we won't forget. The memorial of deliverance, the memorial of bringing us in. He keeps his promises, the memorial of communion to remember his body, his blood. The memorial right now of what we're here, we worship him, that God is the God of the present. And God never forgets. He doesn't need a memorial. He never forgets us. And in closing, I want to mention this. I thought this was appropriate. I think about some of the people from our church. Think about how many people have gone on to be with the Lord that were in this church. I'm reminded of an illustration I heard. A little boy standing there looking at a plaque in the vestibule, and he's standing there looking at all these names on the plaque. And pastor come by and he said, "What you doing?" He said, "Well, what are them names there, pastor?" And he said, "Oh, those are the names of people that died in service." And he said, "Well, which service, the first one or the second one?" Well, you know what? We have a lot of folks who have died serving the Lord. And you just think about those you can think about today. Some of your family, some faithful people in your family who went on to be with the Lord while serving the Lord. Aren't you glad you have a promise of where they're at? You have a promise you're going to see them again. And God didn't lose track of them, and he knows right where they're at. They're with him. And I'm glad that we can look back and see the heritage that we have here of those who were faithful to the Lord, served the Lord, and went on to be with him. But guess what? Their work finished, but the work of God goes on. Our work continues, and this is an important work. And I don't know, maybe today, let's get a song. Maybe today, you just needed to know God hadn't forgot about you. Maybe that's what you needed to hear today. I don't know. If that helped you, then praise the Lord. And maybe today you need to pray. Maybe there's something you need to talk about with the Lord today. You need to call on Him. You need to settle something perhaps. You need to pray for a loved one. Maybe there's something in your life you're facing and you need some reinforcements. The position of prayer is the most strongest, the most powerful position that we could ever find ourselves in. God doesn't forget. He knows where you're at. Memorials. Remember today. Remember your deliverance. Remember where we're headed, and God will keep His word. Remember what Jesus did for us. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your presence today. Thank You, Lord, for the time of worship. We just ask You to have Your way, Lord, in this invitation, Lord. We want You to be glorified in this part of the service as well. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.